Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Job Logs, a podcast that features candid conversations with young professionals about work, life, and everything in between.
Hi, I'm Joy Marie.
And I'm Courtney.
And this is Job Logs.
Welcome back.
Yes.
Another Monday.
Another Monday. We're so glad to have you guys listening. As you know, you can always connect with us at JobLogs around the world, the web, the World Wide Web, or at JobLogs on social media. We're always here for some dialogue.
Yeah, and we're ready to dive in another session of candid career conversations.
Candid career conversations.
I really like this episode. I think it's right on time.
Yeah. So, you know, we have had a little group chat going in the wake of a lot of the recent events and tragedies from the Alton Sterling, general police brutality in the U.S., Nice attacks, conflict in South Sudan. It feels like the list just goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And we really want to talk about how to take care of yourself during times like this when it just seems like the world is just all gone to hell.
Right. So we're going to talk about coping with tragedy at home, navigating politics in the workplace. So I think we're going to be really beneficial.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I don't think we'll get hot and heavy, but we got some really exciting people joining us for the dialogue to talk about taking care of yourself and navigating all of this at work.
Right.
So stay tuned. But first,
Clock in.
So if you've been listening or if you're new, you know, we always start our episodes with a little check-in to see how we're doing. And I think now more than ever, really want to kind of take the time to see what's going on with you, Courtney. How you doing?
I'm doing actually pretty well, which is like everyone's like sinking further into depression around me. But I mean, it is what it is.
But still, you're right.
Yeah, for sure. I had a tough beginning of the year. I had a death in my family end of April. And I think I didn't realize till this week how hard it was to get through, because in my mind I was thinking, I'm not like in the bed, like I'm going through the day, so I must be fine. And I think like going to Essence Fest, getting out of town, I came back and had a cold, which like relegated me to rest and like slow down. And I think kind of that combination like kind of helped me reset.
Yeah.
So I'm looking back, it was like, oh, just because I was keeping
up
with
about,
the schedule, like that
doesn't mean you're doing well.
Good, yeah.
I mean, how do you know you're not doing well at times like that, though? Like, how do you?
I know, and it's weird because just like everyone deals with things differently.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Child, we're just getting through the day, breathing.
Well, you know, I'm glad to see you up and about. It's like you're kind of channeling the energy I need right now, so
yes,
feeding off of that.
Yes,
I love it.
I'll share. What about you? You have Podcast Movement.
Yes. I facilitated a panel at Podcast Movement, which is exactly what it sounds like, a conference for podcasters in Chicago. It went very, very well. It was great. I had amazing panelists from Benoni to Brittany. Google it, look it up. They're all amazing professionals in the podcast space. And kind of my biggest takeaway was like all of the awesome networking that I got out of it. So I met some really cool people. I'm hopefully going to facilitate some meetings and get some things going for Job Logs. But all in all, really, really awesome time. Plus Essence Fest was we went to Essence Fest together.
So fun.
Along with Aaron, who's been on the show in the past a couple times. But it was just like exactly what I needed when I needed it.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling super great.
Good.
Yeah.
Renewed.
Yes, renewed. We had our group chat, I feel like. Was the greatest thing to come out of that. So I definitely have a bunch of different group chats, but like you, me, and Aaron started one, I guess, sometime after Essence. And
yeah,
that's been fun. That's really been kind of getting me through the days. So appreciate y'all.
Oh, always.
Yeah. You know, something else, though, I feel like with everything that's going on, I don't know what it is, but I would say this is the first time where I felt, you know, I felt like angered at a lot of the injustice in the world mm-hmm. in the past, along with, you know, a lot of other people, along with a lot of the rest of the Black community, to be specific. But this time around, I'm feeling very, like, every day I kind of wake up infuriated. Mm. And I'm not sure yet where to channel those feelings or that's, what to do with them.
That's like James Baldwin quote that, I'm going to paraphrase, but to be, like, Black and woke is basically to be in a state of constant rage.
Yes. That's how I feel. That's how I feel. So for the first time, I can say honestly in my life, like, that's, like, consuming me on a daily basis. So I'm trying to, like, temper it back where I can.
Yeah.
Because you can't fix everything. But I also want to positively channel that into something productive. And I don't know what that looks like yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that. Because I think the flip side for me is I was feeling that during, like, the Trayvon Martin, the Eric Garner stuff that happened. And this time it's almost a little disconcerting because how much it's almost, it's not a numbness, but it's just, like, I can't even, I'm so just, I don't know. Like, I can't even get myself riled up because I'm just so over the whole process.
Yeah, I've definitely had periods like that, and I think all of those emotions are valid, and all of those stages are valid, and you have different people that are called to work on different causes at different times, and we're all necessary.
Yeah, and I think one of the greatest things I've heard, and I want to take it more to heart, is that, like, everyone's activism looks differently.
Yes.
It's not always just out on the sidewalk. Like, think about, like, what your talents and your gifts are, and you can apply that to help us get there.
Move forward. Yeah. I want y'all to stop policing people's responses on social media. I want you to stop looking to certain people to speak up. I think it starts with us. And I think also you never know what people are doing or feeling behind the scenes. You also never know, as we talk about kind of caring for yourself in this episode, you never know what triggers set people off and what space they are in their lives.
Yeah.
So it's not fair to kind of expect everyone to kind of be on the same page as you. But yeah, lots of thoughts. That's where I'm at.
All right. So we're going to have more of a well-being-focused rants, raves, and reviews. This is the part of the show where we just name people, places, things, whatever is helping or hindering our professional lives.
Yes.
Paying it forward.
Yep.
So, Joy, what are you talking about today?
I'm raving today. I've kind of already alluded to this, group chats. Mm-hmm. But I'm really raving around vent buddies, people who you could talk to, get it out, get that frustration out, share your opinions and perspectives without judgment, and have healthy dialogue. So for me right now, that looks like our group chat, which we already talked about, very healing space, but also my sorority listserv. We all go on there, support each other, share different triumphs, life milestones, different things like that. And then lastly, I joined a book club. So I'm in a social justice book club.
Very, very woke.
Yes. We're reading The New Jim Crow right now. And it's just a good space to, you know, we have a Facebook group too. And then we meet in person. I haven't been to a meeting yet. But it's a good space to, like, just kind of get angry together, get it out. Have some educated, informed dialogue and, you know, just kind of air it out.
Cultivating some community.
Yeah, so get you some vent buddies. Do what you have to do in this time.
Release.
To stay sane. Yes. What about you?
For me, I'm doing a 2-for-1 this week. My first is a rave of Facebook's unfollow feature.
Okay.
Just walk with me to the corner, the right corner of any post in your feed.
Oh, gosh.
There's a little arrow drop-down menu, and you can click unfollow. That way you don't have to unfriend them, because sometimes it's your cousin.
Yes.
Sometimes you know, I mean, I'm not naming names.
Talk about it.
Sometimes. And so you can maintain the status and they'll never know that you never see anything they post.
Yes, I do that all the time.
There's, I just can't. Like, I can't. Sometimes just seeing something will infuriate. Okay, triggers.
Triggers. Listen, it's perfectly okay to take care of yourself and remove the negativity.
Let it go. And then the other thing is I'm really enjoying some escapism. There's nothing wrong with unplugging from the news and just enjoying a little drama of the artificial variety that's purely for entertainment.
What are we talking
about? So my favorite shows that I have dived into One is Greenleaf on OWN.
Oh, you're Mother telling me Oprah. About this.
Okay, if you grew up in church, then you know church drama is the best drama. Oh my gosh, I clutch my pearls. Every time I watch this show, I love it.
Greenleaf.
Yes. Okay. It's basically a soap opera in a church. I love it.
Okay.
For my Hulu brothers and sisters, The Path.
The Path.
Okay. It's about this, like, guy who's in a cult, but he doesn't know he's in a cult. So it just drama. Again,
okay.
Ascend the ladder. Yes. If you watch The Path, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And
okay.
Then finally, our last few are Unreal on Lifetime.
Unreal.
Yeah, that's about these women producers on a reality show. They're horrible people.
It's a reality show?
It's about the making of a reality show.
Oh, wow.
So you get the reality show drama, and then you get behind-the-scenes drama.
Epic.
I love it.
I love this.
So just, you know, watch some not trash TV, not so trash TV, whatever
you want to
do.
To unplug, but it is perfectly okay.
Yes.
I support it. Love it.
All right, next we have a special treat for you guys. Our beloved Melissa Kimball is on the line.
The Melissa Kimball. Come on.
Thanks for joining us, Melissa.
No, thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited.
Well, if you don't know, you're about to find out. Melissa is a Chicago-based social media strategist and writer, blogger who believes in using social media for good through education and empowerment. By day, she is senior social media manager at Ebony Magazine, and she is the founder and founder and fire behind the Black Creatives Movement. You can find them on Twitter at Black Creatives, that's BLK Creatives, and blackcreatives.com.
Yes. Welcome, Melissa.
Yes. Thank you again. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. So, you know, today we're tackling kind of remaining productive, taking care of yourself through really difficult kind of tragic events that are happening around you. And I know you talk about this a lot with the Black creatives community. And you share a lot of messages that have inspired me personally, Courtney and myself personally, on Twitter, social media, through your channels as well. So what, you know, when it feels kind of like an emotional landmine around you,
definitely.
So much going on around the world, so much going on within your space, how do you take care of yourself?
Well, that's a great question. Like you said, with everything that is going on in our world, on our communities, even on the smallest scale, it's very easy to kind of get caught up in everything that's going on, just because, you know, we're human, like, right? Like, we see these things, we want to help. Often kind of say, like, you know, what is it that I can do, or why am I not doing enough? And it's just easy to just get caught up in this never-ending cycle of just tragedy and trauma. And so it's just very important to be mindful of yourself and your body. So I think that's one of the first things, is that it definitely does start with awareness and really paying attention to, you know, how do you feel when you're scrolling down, you know, your timeline and you see tweet and tweet and tweet after, you know, one after the other of either a tragedy or someone's opinion about a tragedy or someone's opinion about a trauma. And the thing with social, with digital, with just the internet age that we live in, is that it's so difficult to not see these things.
Yeah.
So I think the first step would be to definitely just give yourself that permission to unplug. Like, believe it or not, there is an entire world outside of Twitter, outside of the internet.
It can be hard.
Right? And it doesn't stop. So you really have to give yourself that leeway, that space to say, you know what, today I'm not going to really log into Facebook. I mean, well, I understood if it's for like work purposes, and of course you can't do it. But I think especially if you are a professional who works in the media industry, you just really have to be mindful of those opportunities that you do have to unplug. So maybe it's once, you know, you get off work, or even just take breaks and things during the day to kind of, you know, walk around and clear your mind and get away from it. Because, you know, as much as, you know, internet runs our culture right now, it really is a choice.
Yeah. And Melissa, I love that you said that, because I feel like there's a lot of guilt associated with wanting to kind of step away from things that are happening, because you just see it's impacting so many people around you and you want to stay involved. But I think it's so real. You have to take care of yourself. And also, I love that you said audit how you feel when you see those messages and those tweets. Because, you know, on my timeline, I can go from seeing pictures of cats to somebody's career milestone to a literal video of somebody being slain by a police officer. And that's not a good experience for me. So I think, like you said, really taking a look at how you feel and reacting accordingly.
Yeah, and it's really important, too, I think, to know, you know, what you just said about having guilt about stepping away from these things. Because, you know, again, these things are going on in real life, right? These are things that are not taking place on the internet. The internet is just a medium for the information to come through. And so I think once you start to put it into that perspective, then, and I think you can kind of start to really cope with it and learn, you know, how to work through it. Because I'm sure we all feel that guilt, like, oh God, if I don't share, you know, this post, or if I don't retweet this, you know, Black Lives Matter message, I'm not, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, like, a socially conscious person. Like, but you, again, the internet, it's a choice. You don't owe anyone anything. And just because you're not sharing on the internet or you're not feeding into what's going on the internet doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, one, you're not connected to it, or that you don't care.
Yeah.
We can show care, we can show empathy, we can show compassion in other ways. Then we also have to look at, too, there are people who, you know, while there's a lot of tragedy and trauma in our world right now, there are still, you know, people on an everyday basis in our own lives, whether it be in our own families or friends that we know or people in our community, who are dealing with their own tragedies and trauma. And we can't neglect what's going on at home for what's going on in the world. And so if you are, you know, in a situation or in just a time in your life right now where, you know, you may be losing family members or someone you may know, you know, maybe going through a difficult time, you know, use this time too to take care of those issues. Because just as much as we need, you know, love and support around the world, we also need that in our own lives,
Own
families and communities. So we definitely can't forget about that.
And I think it's so interesting how the news can impact, like, your creativity and your productivity. Because I know, Melissa, with Black Creatives, you talk to, like, thousands of creatives all the time.
Over 10,000, to
over
be specific.
Over 10,000.
Y'all need to be talking to Melissa, okay?
But it's interesting, like, sometimes, like, these trials can, like, really just infuse your work with a new energy when you do creative. Sometimes it can completely deplete it. So I wonder, like, from your community, like, how are people responding with their work?
We actually did a Black Creatives chat on the 11th about, you know, mental health issues and creativity, especially because, again, with all the trauma, the tragedy, it's just definitely something we have to stay on top of mind of, because, you know, our lives can't stop because there's so much tragedy and trauma going on in the world. And so, you know, it's been really great to see the community really use, you know, their creative abilities to kind of express what's going on. I think it was Nina Simone that said that the artist's job is to reflect the times. And so to see so many different creatives create, you know, whether it be content, whether it be, you know, artwork or poetry or writing or things like that. You know, Tracy G, she just did, you know, a podcast episode with Taxstone, and they talked about the Black Lives Matter movement and just everything that's going on. And then she also turned around, because she does a lot of just self-talk work and personal development work, you know, put out an affirmation board that can kind of help people cope with a lot of the trauma and tragedy. So things like that, and also seeing a lot of creatives kind of just use their talents to help, you know, other people. So just create spaces where, you know, people can get together and have brunches, or people can get together and have events or panels or discussions.
I love that.
To remind people to just to take care of themselves. We all owe that to each other. So I think it's great that, you know, people are just really trying to do what they can with where they are to remind other people to do the same.
Yeah. And I would say, I mean, we've talked about unplugging. We've talked about connecting with community. We've talked about, you know, whether you're channeling those feelings to create or, you know, recognizing that it's depleting you and stepping away. But I think also before you can take care of the world around you, you have to take care of yourself.
Real.
Physically, you know, you need to eat. Remember to eat well, y'all. Remember to exercise and stay active. Like, yeah. It sounds simple, but you have to take care of yourself.
Yeah, and I think it's also just cultivating joy for yourself. One of the things I love, I have dropped the ball on this, but in the book, The Artist's Way, one of the things that they recommend is taking yourself on an artist date, where it's like you treat yourself like one of those I Like Art girls and just do something that's like a museum. Go to one of those like paint and play places and just do something that's just really fun. Yeah. Treat yourself to
therapeutic.
That. Yeah.
Well, Melissa, this was amazing. Thank you for joining us and kind of sharing a couple of ways that we can continue to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. For all of our Black creatives and allies and community and friends,
yeah,
please connect with the Black creatives community. That, for me, has been a therapeutic outlet. Melissa hosts monthly Twitter chats. She has a really engaged community of over 10,000 people. So whoever you're looking to connect with.
Yeah, just click the hashtag. Like, don't even wait for the next chat. Like, it's some gems in there.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you so much, ladies. It's, again, an honor to be a part of, you know, what you all are doing. And just grateful just to have you both and just the JobLogs community and as a part of our community as well. Like, yes. Just having conversations like this means a lot. So thank you.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Thank you, Melissa. All right. It is that wonderful time of the episode, the time where we address your listener questions. This is Ask JobLogs. You can submit your questions to us at any time at joblogs.com/AskJobLogs. And we got a couple of good ones today.
Cool. So I'm going to start with, are we using her name?
Yes.
Okay.
She said two. I don't know if we should. You know what? Let's change it.
Okay. I'm going to.
Because y'all be sending in your names, and I read the question, and it's just like, should you use your name?
All right. Her name is Robin Gibbons.
Robin Gibbons. Hey, Robin.
She says, hi, ladies. Love your podcast. So relieved to hear such strong female voices in this area.
Yeah, thank you,
Robin. She's writing today because I'm feeling stuck where I am. I'm just not sure what to do about it. I run a family business, and I was stepping in for 3 months because my mom had some serious medical issues. Mm. It turned out that the business was in really bad shape. I stayed on to help now for 6.5 years. Mm. She's fully recovered, and the business has grown with my help and is sustaining itself, which is an amazing feeling. But it's a lot of work. The pay is terrible, and I really don't want to work 80 hours a week for sometimes no money. Love my parents and our 10 employees, but I also have a young family of my own to worry about. Mm. I worry if that I leave the business, I'd be putting everything we work so hard for in jeopardy. We're probably still 3 years away from making a profit, and that long until I can take home pay that feels anywhere near worth it at all. Mm. And also, if I leave, I'm forfeiting all that I've invested in time over the past years when I've delayed pay or put things on personal credit cards and pay for out-of-pocket. Any advice?
Wow.
That's tough because it's family and business.
Lots of things happening here. The first thing I would say to you, Ms. Givens, is, you know, what do you want for your life? And where do you see your life in 10 years? Because while, you know, I think it's super admirable that you've stepped in and you've helped out your family and you've worked for their business, you're sacrificing your own goals. Mm-hmm. You said you have a young family of your own.
Oh,
you're sacrificing time from them, things that you could be doing and investing in to build your future. So really, you're building your family's future right now and neglecting your own.
Yeah. You know, as I just said to my friend this week, there's no glory in being a martyr. Mm. So it's like, there's nothing, just before you to say, like, you're putting yourself down. Like, there's no prize for that.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to, if you want something, you really have to kind of stand up and advocate for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, I can't give you advice here. I don't think anybody can, but I would say search within yourself and think about where you, what you want your life to look like. And in 10 years, are you going to look back and regret the time that you wasted? Because time is our most valuable asset. You can't get it back. So, you know, if you have a family, if you have dreams and aspirations of your own, pursue them. There's no shame in stepping away. It doesn't have to be a clean break. You can say, hey, what I'm going to do is help out once a month, or I'm going to start to transition out. I can find you guys replacement help. I can work with you to train another team. I can contribute X hours a week, but no more. There's no shame in, you know, continuing to lend that help, but it sounds like a cycle that you'll be stuck in perpetuity if you don't create a plan and be
intentional. Yeah, I think it's like you have to get real with each other and figure out, like, what are the goals for this family business? What are my goals? And then how can we compromise between the two? Like, what's the, because not everything's black and white. Like, what's the gray area that I can still help?
Help, right? It could be strategic. It could help with finances, partnership, whatever. I don't know the nature of the business, but I think bottom line is you got to put yourself first at some point. Mm-hmm. So good luck. Keep us posted. We have another question. This one comes from Anonymous. Hey, gals. First, just wanted to thank you guys for this podcast because it's been really encouraging for me to listen to while I'm at a job that is creatively draining. Mm. I'm a Brooklyn girl originally, so I feel very much at home when I hear you guys talking about New York City. My husband and I are currently trying to move to Seattle, and I've had a really difficult time finding graphic design jobs out there. I've been applying for months but haven't gotten a response. Do you know any advice for applying to jobs out of state? I'm wondering if I should lie about my address and use a friend's address instead.
Done that.
I'm also worried that the graphic design market is way oversaturated with more experienced designers, and it's making it hard for the rest of us junior / mid-level designers to break in. Any advice you have would be great. Keep doing your thing.
Yeah, so this is it's so hard looking for work out of town, especially out of state. It can
be. Yeah, especially depending on the industry, and I would say creative design industries that are oversaturated are more difficult for sure.
Yes. So right away, yes, on faking the address. I did that for New York when I moved here.
I think I did too. Mm-hmm. I had interned in New York City while I was in college, and so I used my friend's address where I stayed when I started applying for full-time jobs.
Yeah,
as
so
well.
I would hop on that Bolt bus from D.C. whenever I would get a hook.
Yep.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah, so I mean, I support that as well. I also, because you mentioned that it was a creative industry, we called up a friend who was a user experience designer, Jeremy Williams.
Hi, Jeremy.
To ask for his advice. And he said, he recommended, yes, use someone else's address. Pretend you're already in Seattle because nobody's paying for relocation, his words. and unless you already have a network there, it definitely will be difficult. So, like, you know, managing expectations that this journey is going to be tough in this specific industry, but it's doable. So what I would say is, like, really start to get, if Seattle's your goal, start to take on the Seattle mindset. See what communities or associations you can join that are Seattle-based. See what listservs you can hop on.
Would you
on.
Recommend, like, the informational interview?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would actually, as a strategy, recommend booking a couple of trips out to Seattle, maybe go out there for a week at a time or a couple days, whatever you can, you know, hack. And then set up some meetings around the times that you're out there because you want to start to build that network there and start to have those roots there. You basically want to apply the same strategies you would to applying to any job in terms of getting to know people, doing informationals, getting to know different industries, and also asking people to give you introductions. Like, ask people to introduce you to other people in their own network so that you're not doing double the work of trying to learn all of these contacts. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. The timing might not be what you anticipate. So I would say definitely remain flexible.
Yeah.
You might end up, you know, right outside of Seattle or something like that. But be
or
open.
Or like maybe in a, to get out there, you may take a position that's kind of adjacent to the field that you want to, maybe like slightly tweaked, but it's like in
just
get in the
get
building,
there.
Like get to the place.
Yes, absolutely. Best of luck to you. Keep us posted.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We have another anonymous. They say, hello, I'm a rising senior in college, and I'm currently working at an internship doing basic data research and entry. I have a couple co-interns that I work side by side with, sorry, but not necessarily as a team, just next to each other, literally.
Got it.
Okay, one of them sits right next to me, Joy. Never does any work. She consistently comes in several minutes late every day, then takes her time booting up her computer and playing on her phone. Throughout the workday, she's constantly texting or browsing the web. I know it's none of my business, and it doesn't affect, look, and my work at all, but it's really frustrating when our supervisor doesn't notice and there are no consequences to her action. It's hard to stay motivated and get my work done when my neighbor slacks all the time. I don't want to come off as a snitch or a nagger, but what should I do? How do you deal with workers who seem to get away with slacking off? Thank you.
Oh, girl.
Mind your business, girl. Mind your business.
Oh, gosh, girl. This has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it, and I feel like you know what we would say because
you
said it. Yeah, because
you spread yourself here.
It got nothing to do with you. Yeah, like, I know it could be frustrating being in a space, but welcome to the workforce.
Yeah.
There are people who do nothing and get promoted every year.
Listen,
okay?
And the rules of the playground stay with you throughout life.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes a snitch. Snitches get stitched.
All right, Courtney, that's what we're not doing on today. No, but seriously, in all seriousness, you will never stop encountering people who do nothing at work and still somehow get ahead.
Yeah.
It got nothing to do with you. Unless it does start to impact you or your work, or these are team members that you have to partner with, I will mind your business.
Yeah, because, I mean, really, you said, like, and this is a good lesson, though, because what other people do should not affect your motivation.
Exactly.
And it should not affect your work ethic. Like,
exactly.
It doesn't matter.
And you're getting in the space where now these little things are kind of triggering you and making you upset, and you're looking for validation from your supervisor, and your supervisor's not noticing it.
This is the universe coming up with a lesson for you,
yes,
girl.
Yes. Listen, a lot of times you won't see, you know, you don't need to worry about it because that person, that'll catch up with them. That karma will catch up with them in their own time, or maybe it won't. And you might not be around to witness it.
Yeah.
And you just got to deal with
that.
Real. So I would not be concerned with somebody else's lack of productivity because at this point, it's affecting yours as well.
Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff. That's small stuff.
All right, so we have a real treat for y'all today.
For sure.
We are joined by Jana DeSante, who's a human resources executive, whose mission is really to build confidence in people of color at workplaces everywhere. And she wrote a really great article that caught our attention, which is why we had her on this episode, called Returning to Work After Tragic Events. And she wrote that for This Afropolitan Life.
Mm-hmm.
So, Janet, welcome.
Welcome, Janet.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, ladies. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Yes, yes, the feeling is definitely mutual. But, you know, we were reading that article and it lined up perfectly with the discussion that we're having today just around how to take care of yourself, how to navigate all of the complexities of what's going on in the world at work specifically. And as a human resources professional with all of these years of experience, we just wanted you to kind of talk a little bit about how you approach that.
Yeah, because I know in our group chats this week, there's been some debate over, like, whether should I bring this up at work? Should I not? I know I'm of the school where I just, like, kind of want to keep my head low and, like, get to 5 o'clock. But I know that's not always the healthiest, you know, mode to go with. So we'd love to have your feedback on navigating that space.
Yeah, I definitely think it's a really good topic to discuss. I know a lot of my friends and colleagues were last week was really dicey for some people. So I'm really glad you guys are having this discussion. It's a really good discussion to have. So, you know, in general, most national global strategies are very easy for people to galvanize around, mm-hmm. such as Hurricane Sandy or the Paris bombing one and the latest one that just happened, or when Boko Haram kidnapped the 200 girls. It's easy to be by the water cooler and say, you know, your sentiment about that, right? Yeah. That's safe. But then there's some things that are just a bit dicey. There's have some political elements or some racial themes mm-hmm. associated with them. And that's what gets us a little bit feeling a bit icky and scary about discussing that with colleagues, because we're just not sure where they land on the issue.
Yeah.
I remember the Charleston shooting last year, and that was in the backdrop of the Confederate flag issue, whether it should what it meant, whether it's heritage or more racial. And you just don't know where your coworkers' allegiance is on something like that, right?
Yeah.
So kind of sidestep it. I'm of the school of thought that you decide, right? You decide at the end of the day if you're comfortable, if your workplace has is safe places or who you're talking to. You know, you might be talking to the CEO, you might be talking to a peer. I mean, there's different levels of who you're talking to, who you feel comfortable bringing that discussion up, or they could just simply ask you, how was your weekend? And I know the weekend after Dallas and Minnesota and after Baton Rouge, there was a lot of emotions just on all sides. And so when those issues happen, if you walked in on Monday morning after that week, and someone's like, well, how was your weekend? You may have spent the weekend doing some self-care activities or spent the weekend just completely in bed, just kind of upset or, you know, processing everything that had happened. And someone asks you how you're doing. Do you give them the typical standard, oh, yeah, my weekend was great? Or do you say something to the effect of, you know, this was a really tough weekend. I really had to spend some time decompressing because the news was just really heavy on my heart for the families of Castile and Sterling, or it was heavy on my heart for in the Dallas shooting. Just a lot of pent up emotion about the entire thing. So, I mean, that's one way of going about it. Or the next way is to just completely say it was great and walk away. But I'm a fan of being authentic in the level that you feel comfortable with, because when you're authentic at work, people get to see a different side of you.
Yeah.
And it
leads to you being your influence and your confidence. And we're not robots that go to work with no feelings.
Yeah.
Right? So it's really a good choice to always level with people in the right way that you feel.
I love that recommendation because it's not necessarily trying to impose your perspectives on or beliefs on your colleagues. And so it kind of removes that pressure, that fear of like, am I being too, I don't know, militant in the workplace, or am I just trying to impose my perspective? And it just kind of, like you said, sheds light on the humanity and just kind of sympathizing with what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
Right. And I also think that some of these issues that we're seeing is because both sides of the fence don't really understand who each other, like who we are at home and personally and our beliefs and our just who our being. And I think there's an opportunity to educate people when you really select the words you use to show your sense of what's happening and how you feel about it, your perspective. We are able to educate each other that whether stereotypes in the media or what you may perceive as who I am or my background is diametrically different from what you probably have seen or learned from others in your social circles. So I think it's an opportunity, it's a learning opportunity when we share a bit of ourselves.
And I like that you say you can do it to your level of comfort. So for those who are comfortable being more vocal with how they feel, are there any like guidelines or just things to keep in mind when kind of sharing very political views in the workplace?
I've seen recently in the last couple of weeks some corporations do, you know, employee town halls and have their executive leaders share just a note in solidarity. I've seen memos being sent out by some corporations.
So if you're invited to those town halls that a company may put up, I recommend that you, if you feel comfortable, to actively engage and participate, right? So if the company is setting those things up, they really want to hear from people from all walks of life. So you want to participate, you want to talk about your perspective. But one of the things you want to do before you do that, you want to make sure you're well read on the core issue of the issue, right?
Hallelujah. Say it again.
Because what happens is sometimes we let our emotions do the talking when we're speaking about a topic that's very sensitive. And when you do that, you may say things that if you had to do it over again, you may not do it again.
Yeah.
But if you're well read on the topic, you'll fall back on facts and key information, which will give you the confidence and the language to shape the conversation, right? Because when we're at work, we want to be very pragmatic, logical, and thoughtful. And so one of the key things to do is, rather than get all the information from social media, but really do your own research, do a lot of reading, figure out what are some of the root causes, so that when someone makes a general comment in a town hall and says, oh, don't, you know, blah, 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 how many cops get killed per year, or when they turn the facts around, you'll be ready to say, you know, actually, the Washington Post just did an article that stated these facts, there were blank, blank, blank,
right?
Which allows you to show your colleagues that you're not coming from a place of emotion, but coming from a place where you really rationalize these ideas and come to a conclusion that you think is very sound.
And I really recommend that everyone check out your full article on This Afropolitan Life, because I like some of the examples you gave of templates for how to share your ideas.
Yes.
And it was really... my takeaway was that when you're talking about things, to really have your facts together and then focus on your perspective, like how does it make you feel, and making it more personal, because it's not so much about attacking this other person or even like forcing them or persuading them. It's really just being honest about how you feel impacted, in the workplace.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Janet, thank you. This was incredible. If you want to stay connected with Janet, see more of the amazing work she's doing around the web, connect with her at notesfromhr.com, where she blogs. She also blogs at This Afropolitan Life and is working on a really incredible docuseries on first-generation Africans in America navigating career and more. And that's the Afrogen docuseries. So, Janet, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, y'all. So this is the segment of the show, Hired and Fired, where we give our props to people in media, pop culture, general entertainment that are doing things that we really love, admire, want to praise, or we fire and hand out termination papers to people who aren't. So this is Hired and Fired. Courtney, you're up.
Yes. And I'm shaking the table.
Are
you? Where I'm hiring and I'm firing.
You're hiring and you're firing.
There's
in
big
the same
changes.
In the same day.
Two for one. Special.
Okay. What is it?
Facebook is fired.
Aw.
Facebook is fired.
The whole thing?
The whole entity.
The whole company? Oh,
yes.
Okay.
All gone.
What happened?
What happened is, in the wake, and this was such poor timing, because, you know, we're just in a sensitive position this week.
Yeah.
The colored delegation.
Yes.
So I don't even know why they put this out. But they told the Wall Street Journal that the reason for their diversity issues was the pipeline, meaning that there just aren't any qualified candidates of color that have the skills that they need, and thus they can't hire anybody.
Oh, really?
That's what they said.
They can't find anyone?
They cannot find anyone.
I'm confused because we interview qualified people of color every week on this episode. Every single
week.
We
had a Google panel. But you're fired. But Kaya Thomas came in here, undergraduate computer science student at Dartmouth College.
Okay.
She came with the clapback. She took the medium, and she just got her entire life. She says that there are thousands of other Black and Latinos who graduate every year with computer science bachelor's degrees. Most of us don't get hired into the tech industry. She proceeds to give us a cute hyperlink to a USA Today article saying that 2% of workers at 7 Silicon Valley companies that have released their staffing are Black. 3% are Hispanic. Mm, but last year,
crazy.
4.5% of bachelor's degrees in computer science and engineering from prestigious universities were African American. 6.5% were Hispanic. So at the very least,
come on,
the percentages should add up.
Like, exactly.
At the very least. So Kaya says she's over it before she even started.
Come on, citing facts and sources. This is what we're talking about.
She cited facts. She came from their ping pong and beer culture. And then basically she told them, like, go to HBCUs, build relationships with minority campus organizations.
Yes.
And she said, and I quote, stop blaming us for not doing your job.
Mm.
And I lived.
Message.
I lived. So, I mean, I think the big takeaway there, that, and it really, again, started a conversation online about this, really debunking that whole pipeline excuse.
Yeah.
And a lot of the issues arise because these companies don't look at diverse schools. Yeah. They focus on top tier.
No, and I'm a proponent of looking beyond HBCUs. That's an amazing start, and I love the
Well, you know, she did. I like
created.
That she also said, like, look at campus organizations at all schools.
Because I went to RIT, a tech school, and I could throw a dime in the air and it would drop on a person of color that is doing amazing stuff in tech. So,
So diverse schools. Diverse experience. A lot of these companies are just looking for, if you work at companies
profile,
like our company or top tech companies. And then the network, like, again, that whole employee referral system.
Yeah.
We see that we are a very siloed country. Mm. So the people you know tend to look like you.
Exactly.
So we all have to branch out.
Exactly.
And I love that she kind of made that call to arms and did not take that line down.
All right, Kaya. Welcome on board.
Yes.
And bye, Facebook.
Bye. All right, now it's time for adulting.
Adulting.
This is when we share just, you know, little tidbits to help you on that journey to being a fully functional adult. Because we're there, saints.
Yep, we know it's hard.
Yeah.
But I'm taking the reins today.
Okay, so how are you adulting?
Adulting headshots, professional headshots. So I'm talking about those shining images of your face on LinkedIn, on Facebook, whatever, your website, portfolio. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about just having a really great professional
High resolution. Children.
Headshot. No more are the days of the cropped Facebook photo with you and somebody's arm around you.
Okay. That time you were dressed really nice at church.
Yes. Like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. But, you know, I know that sometimes the barrier to getting a great headshot is the cost. I would say, if you are building a brand, which all of us should be doing as young professionals, but, you know, if you have a creative endeavor or whatever, make the investment. There's definitely a range of photographers you can find.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you want to try and save money, like, get like an amateur or like a student photographer. They're always looking for ways to build their portfolio, and they'll give you a great deal.
Absolutely. And if even that's still a barrier, you could hook it up on your own.
Mm-hmm.
Get you a high resolution camera, somebody that has a great camera.
Sometimes, natural light.
Even a phone sometimes, natural light. Don't be afraid to show your personality. Feel free to, like, if you're an artist or creative, you know, take shots in your space, in your studio.
Mm-hmm.
Go outside, sit on a bench, do some of those fun power poses.
I took a fabulous headshot for my boyfriend on a brownstone street.
Yes, the episode artwork. Yes,
you cannot tell me I didn't do that.
Yes, exactly. Fabulous. So it does not have to be cost prohibitive. You can definitely get creative and have fun with it, but, you know, we're adulting, so we got to get rid of those Facebook profile pictures from 10 years ago. Okay.
This is fun.
Yes.
Heavy topics, but I think some good takeaways.
Really good perspective. Some good thought starters for me as well as I voyage into this next week in the corporate world with all of these thoughts on my head and my heart.
Yes.
So thank you so much to everyone who contributed, from Janet, notesfromhr.com, to Melissa Kimball of blackcreatives.com, and our buddy Jeremy Williams. Thank y'all so much for contributing to the dialogue today.
And what's upcoming? We have some stuff coming up.
Yeah, so I'll be speaking at the Young Professionals Brunch Series at Temple University on September 10th. I'm going to be speaking in the morning. It's a session on slaying your interview.
Love.
Y'all sign up, get some tickets if you're in the Philly area. It's going to be some really great networking with amazing millennial women who are just slaying it in the workforce. So
love
to meet y'all there.
And if you love the show, leave us a rating and a review on iTunes.
Yes.
We love the stars.
Helps boost us, and also make sure the show gets to other people who need to hear the message as well. Don't be selfish. If you want more, as always, check out our amazing articles. We've got tips on building cover letters to relationships to everything else on joblogs.com. You can always connect with Court or I at joblogs on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Shoot us a note. Let us know your thoughts. Y'all don't have to wait till Mondays to talk with us. We're always around.
Yeah, and we're around on the web. I'm Cleave Out Loud on most things.
And I'm Hey Miss Parker. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.